Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies, from nonprofits to the Fortune 500, find food for meetings and company events. With online ordering and 24/7 live support, learn more at easycater.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Grammarly. 96% of users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Save time with one click and go from editing drafts in hours to seconds. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions to help your team make their point and move faster. Make a bigger impact at work. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR. Today, a cheery topic, death. Well, more specifically, what to do with human bodies after death. It's not something lots of people like to talk about. Even Lynn Carpenter Boggs, a soil scientist at Washington State University. What is your feedback you've been given when you, like, talk about this at parties?
I don't often talk about this at parties. My husband seems to like to just throw it out there in random audiences.
Husbands. The it is a new way that people in Washington State can dispose of their bodies after they're dead. Compost it. Yeah, it's not just for food scraps and leaves. Composting human remains will be legal in Washington State this year, starting in May. Lynn actually studied how to do this for a company planning to offer the service.
Even when there's a little bit of negative or just unfamiliarity with the idea, once you start talking about how beautiful that this can be, we see that there's a lot of people who are really interested in it.
So how do you do it? Well, today on the show, Lynn Carpenter Boggs tells us about her pilot study that took 6 donated human bodies and turned them into compost.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Indeed. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/shortwave. Terms and conditions apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor, VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center. Every year, millions of people lose someone to cancer. But as an NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center ranked in the country's top 4%, VCU Massey Comprehensive Cancer Center is unrelenting in finding new ways to understand, detect, treat, and prevent cancer. Unconditionally committed to keeping loved ones in their lives. Learn more at MasseyCancerCenter.org/comprehensive.
Do you ever wish you could get your stories in 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? Or maybe you're sick of doom scrolling, getting your news in bits and pieces. That is where Embedded comes in. We bring you documentary series that will change the way you think about things. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so I get it. Some of you are probably like, why would somebody be into composting human remains? Well, typical ways of dealing with our bodies in the States have their downsides. There's the carbon footprint of cremation, the hundreds of thousands of tons of wood and concrete that we put in the ground with caskets, and just the sheer amount of space graveyards take up.
There are increasing numbers of cities where they're no longer allowing extension of cemetery grounds.
So before she got into human composting, Lynn Carpenter Boggs had a long career helping farms compost dead livestock. That work caught the attention of Katrina Spade, the founder of the company Recompose, and one of the people behind the whole effort to legalize human composting in the state. She recruited Lynn to prove that you can safely compost a human body. But for sure, composting humans feels way different than composting livestock.
Oh, definitely. It just doesn't feel right. It feels like a sort of a little too natural method. You know, it feels very very agricultural, and most people are just not familiar with how composting works. And, you know, it didn't seem like anybody would ever really accept it as a method. So to take the concept and the basic principles that we know work really well and put it into a really different context where it becomes not only acceptable but a really beautiful process, that has been the goal.
The first thing that happens is that the body is placed in this long barrel-like container.
So what it looks like is that the body is laid onto a bed of plant materials, and then more plant materials are laid on top of the body, and the door is closed.
One of the important parts of this equation is all that plant material. It has to contain a special ratio of carbon to nitrogen to give the microbes some of the energy they need to be super active.
And that also creates high temperature.
From there, they tweak the airflow, even rotate the container, all to keep those little bacteria feasting, you know, breaking everything down.
Well, you know, I don't want to get too gross.
Or as gross as you're comfortable with.
Most of the activity is by bacteria, and they don't have mouths like the larger organisms we think about. They release enzymes outside of their bodies. So essentially you have trillions of little enzyme and acid-making machines that are leaking out these enzymes and acids, and it's that chemical mix that primarily makes things decompose. So the cells come apart, molecules come apart, and then those same bacteria are then able to feed on the very tiny molecules that have been released from that chemical process.
In Lynn's pilot study, trying out that process took about 4 to 7 weeks. The company Recompose hopes to standardize this process, so it only takes 30 days. What does the material look like? Like, I'm having a hard time visualizing it.
You have material that is fairly fine. It looks something like a little bit larger diameter potting soil. So it looks like compost.
So funerals are extremely expensive in general. And in 2020, people will be able to do this in Washington State. Do you think people will do it because it's cheaper? Do we know yet?
The goal price, I believe, will likely be somewhere between cremation and typical burial. So it's likely that cremation would still be a cheaper option. So while part of the attraction for people will be price, I think that it will be non-economic attractions that will bring more people to it.
Sure. No, that makes sense to me. You've used the word beautiful to describe this process. What about it do you find beautiful?
Yeah, that's probably with my not-so-scientist hat on.
I like that hat. I like that hat.
Yeah. So, to me, even going through the unique situation of having donors who I didn't personally know, but to lay them on fresh plant materials, which smell lovely, and to cover them up with more fresh plant materials, and to know that it is trillions of microorganisms having a great time that then convert that material into something that, you know, was completely different looking than when we closed it up a month ago. And that, again, was a pleasant material to smell and to touch, but very different than what we started with. So it's both that this transformation is happening, and also that you then have something that is going to further improve the land. To me, those are all beautiful.
Lynn Carpenter Boggs is a professor of sustainable and organic agriculture at Washington State University and research advisor with Recompose. Today's episode was produced by Rebecca Ramirez and edited by Viet Le. The facts were checked by Burley McCoy, and Ted Mebane helped with engineering. I'm Maddie Sofia. This is NPR Shortwave. We'll see you tomorrow.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BlackRock's podcast, The Bid. On the latest episode of The Bid, BlackRock's chairman and CEO, Larry Fink, discusses challenges facing investors such as retirement and others where the global capital markets figure into the solutions. Listen to the episode on The Bid and subscribe for market insights from BlackRock's thought leaders.
Summer is for going to the movie theater because it's too hot to stay home. It's for driving with the windows down, listening to your favorite music. It's for stretching out while you're on vacation to gobble up a TV show. For a guide to some of the TV, movies, and music we are most excited about this summer, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
Pro-Palestinian protests have popped up on college campuses across the country. But from the eyes of students, what are we missing?
From the outside, these protests are painted as really violent when that couldn't be further from the truth.
I'm Brittany Luce, host of NPR's It's Been a Minute, and I'm inviting you to hear from student journalists who see what the rest of us cannot. On It's Been a Minute from NPR.